Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning into Fire Shutters My Bones. And I want to talk about environmentalists. And environmentalists, they're of the devil. They take your freedom away in the name of protecting the environment. Right? However, realize that the resources that we use to help our lives and better our lives were put on this planet to make our lives easier. In the book of Proverbs, let me see if I have that verse. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, it says here, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The Lord God gave us a mind. We are to copy our Father who, well, first of all, God created this world out of nothing. That's what creation means. However, since we're made in the image and likeness of God, we too have the ability to make things out of what God has put here on earth for us. We are to utilize the resources that God has given us. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, it says, and God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish in the sea. It's a shame that you have to get a sea fishing license, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The environmentalists don't do that. They frown upon fishing, utilizing the trees to build houses and paper and things of the sort, to use animals to make clothes and to eat them. They hate that. They want to bring us back to the Stone Age where we don't utilize God's creation. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. So basically, God gave us dominion over everything on this planet. 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Use it. The oil that God has placed on this planet is for us to use. Did you know that the ocean seeps out oil, and there are tiny microscopic organisms within the ocean that devours the oil so that the oil doesn't kill off the fish in the ocean? That's why when you see major oil spills in the ocean, it's cleared up within a week or less because of the microscopic organisms that God has placed in the ocean to protect us. This planet, I read an article, this planet is an oil producing machine. By the way, be very careful of calling oil fossil fuels. It is not a fossil fuels. That's just a stupid theory that the evolutionists came up with. They're saying that because of the dinosaurs died and decayed into the earth, that's how you get oil today. That is rubbish. Oil existed long before the dinosaurs. Let me go to, I didn't plan on mentioning this. Let me mention oil. Noah. God's covenant. God bless Noah. Okay, let's go back to this part. Okay, here we go. The building of the ark. Man became exceedingly wicked. They're murdering each other, much like America is doing today when they're killing innocent babies. Thank God for the Supreme Court overturning that Roe versus Wade thing. It says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without, and with pitch. Within, pitch is oil. That is tar. That's what Noah was commanded to use to waterproof the ark. Now, so why was oil there? Because God loves us, and God told Noah to use the oil. The environmentalists are against using oil. They don't want, the EPA doesn't want us to drill for oil in our own country. They want us to borrow and blame Russia over and over again and tell us a bunch of lies. That is wickedness. Why? Because that is an open disobedience to God's command when he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish your earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moving on earth. So when the EPA says we can't use the oil, we can't have Keystone pipelines, when Biden constantly shuts down Keystone pipelines, which is causing gasoline to be expensive, that is a disobedience to the command of God. Now, by way of interjection, the environmentalists believe they can control the weather. Something they think they control something, they can control something they had no part in creating. That's what I want to preach on today. The environmentalists cannot control the weather. It's impossible. They are not God. It is impossible for them to do such a thing. This is a blessing to me. I was having a Bible study this morning and this came to my mind. So let's pray. Lord, I pray, forgive me my sins first of all. Help me to deliver this message, Lord. And thank you for being our God and saving us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This sermon is for the Christians to encourage them because honestly, this was a huge blessing to me. It's something that I believe that the average Christian does know, but for me, it was really interesting to me. And notice with me that Jesus made the universe. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The word create means to make something out of nothing. Only God can do such a powerful thing. Go with me to Psalm 102. By the way, creation versus uncreation are throughout the Bible. I only picked but a few to save time. Psalm 102, verse 25. It says, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands." The way the atmosphere, atmospheric layers protect us from meteorites, the sunlight, it is cunningly devised. Only the Lord can do something like that. Wish I found the verse about, I believe it was a verse about how God mathematically constructed the universe. I wish I found that. But anyway, when you find that, email us, okay? Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 9, we'll do verse 6 here. It says, "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone." Okay? "Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their hosts." I believe that's talking about angels. "And the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. Thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven worshipeth thee." Okay, that is just amazing. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. If I could find it, I should have put thumbtacks or something like that. Okay, there's Philippians. Okay, good. Praise God, I'm here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. It says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him," it's talking about God now, "for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth." Okay? All the angels, all the things in earth, God created them. Visible, what you can see, and invisible. That could talk about microscopic organisms and animals that you can't see. You can't see them without the aid of a microscope. Or stars far away. You can't see them without the aid of a telescope. Tele means from afar. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, that's talking about the supernatural, or powers. By the way, God gives powers and takes away powers. He can do that. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The sun is placed 93 million miles away from the earth. If it were any closer, we'll burn up. If it were any further, we'll freeze. It is mathematically placed so that we as human beings can survive. By him all things consist. Amen. Okay. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. There's several verses we'll look at there. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, the atmosphere, the layers, the earth, everything on it, the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. You see, this planet declares the hand of God. Amen. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and thou and they shall all wax old as doth a garment. The earth is dying. The sun is dying. Okay. The scientists have shown that the sun is actually shrinking. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Amen. Let's keep going here. Such amazing stuff. I want you to note something, Christian. The environmentalists, they're of the devil. They don't care. They rather see men die. How do you know that? Well, if you read this book, Equifix, I was doing some research. Thank God that my dad let me read this book. DDT was devised to target malaria-carrying mosquitoes and mosquitoes that carry all manner of diseases. It's interesting. It targeted those types of insects and killed them off. It was designed to protect us from malaria, typhoid, and all that. The environmentalists, thanks to Rachel Carson and her stupid book called Silent Springs in, I think, 1962, she scared the public saying that DDT is killing off birds when it was not. It was the West Nile virus, okay? And it's killing off the trees, which it was not. It was the stupid elm beetle that was killing off the elm trees, which could have been prevented if we used DDT. They banned it. Many people died in Africa because they banned DDT. Now, they asked one stupid environmentalist, hey, DDT, did it cause any harm to anyone? Right? By the way, the guy who came up with this stuff, he actually ate it and lived up until his 80s or 90s healthily. People used to spray DDT on their bodies to protect them. Okay? There's nothing wrong with it. God gave us that. To subdue it, to protect us. Why? God loves us. But then they banned it. But the ex-one environmentalist, like, hey, why are you having people use these harmful pesticides instead of DDT? And he says, so their world is overpopulated and blacks and Mexicans are using it. There's too many of them anyway. Now, look, that's in the book Eco Freaks. Go order that. The earth is not overpopulated. As a matter of fact, you can fit the entire world's population shoulder to shoulder, back to back in Jacksonville, Florida. The environmentalists are of the devil. They're a bunch of liars, communists, and we shouldn't have them in our country. This emissions test, straight out of hell. Okay, so man cannot destroy the planet. Who can do that? Only God can do that. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Oh man, I'm in John. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in an all holy conversation and godliness? All right, so only God can destroy the planet. I'm mentioning that to say this. Your cars cannot destroy the planet. Your air conditionings cannot destroy the planet. Your technology cannot destroy the planet. That's a lie. Matter of fact, when they say that, oh, your cars emit too much carbon monoxide, volcanoes emit more of that. Volcanoes are actually, according to science, a pollutant, if you will. All right, so volcanoes are very bad at times. All right, and God's going to make a new planet, Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Good. So God's going to destroy the planet. There's nothing you can do about it. So, you know, environmentalists need to leave us alone. They're wicked. They're of the devil. They hate progress. Only God can control the weather. All right. So I mentioned all that cool stuff because this really hit me this morning. I loved it. I was studying the word of God and I got a lot of things. God controls the weather. He alone can only do this. Let's go to Matthew 5:45. And we'll go pretty quickly with this. Matthew, let's go to the first book of the Gospels. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. It says there, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and unjust. Man, God is merciful to the wicked. It says, and he sendeth rain on the just, that's the righteous folks, and the unjust, the lost. Okay, Job 36:27. Job 36 and 27. For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof. Hey, I'm glad he makes it small. What if he made it too big and it harmed us? Job chapter 5 verse 10. This is God, you know, this is talking about the weather now. There's some other verses where it says, and God sendeth out the rains and lightnings and all that. Okay, Job chapter 5 verse 10. Who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields? Amen. All right. So Psalm 147 verse 4. By the way, that's talking about God. He sends the rain and the waters upon the fields. Job 5:10. I feel like I'm missing something. It is God that maketh the grass green. And all that good stuff. Psalm 147 verse 4. All right. I think, yeah, let's read it. He telleth the number of the stars. Wow. He called them all by their names. Before I go on, let me mention how many stars are in our Milky Way. I have it written down somewhere on my phone. Hold on one second. Okay. According to www.space.com, averaging out the types of stars within our galaxy, this will produce an answer of about 1 billion stars in the galaxy. Okay. So about 1 billion stars. Galaxy observations. God named all the stars. He telleth the number of the stars. He called them all by their names. That is just what scientists can see, the 1 billion stars with their telescope. There's more, and God knows their names. He called them by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the meek and casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Praise upon the harp unto our God. Now look at this. Who covereth the heaven with clouds? Who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains? He giveth the beast his food, and the young ravens which cry. They're always hungry. He delighteth not in strength of the horse. He taketh that pleasure in the legs of man. Okay, so so you can see the only God controls the weather. Now, let's turn to a portion of scripture how God is just all-powerful and awesome. And this stuff actually happened. Mark chapter 4. Very familiar passage here. Mark, Luke, John. Okay, so Mark is this way. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says there, and the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. So picture that the waves were crashing into the ship and sinking it. It's full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. It's talking about Jesus asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea. He's talking to the sea, guys. He's talking to the sea. He goes, peace be still. Right? And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Look at that. Pay attention to that. The allegory tells us that to drive our vehicles, but he's in his private jet using fuel. All these hypocrites out there, they said, oh, you know, the reason why there's global warming, or back in the 80s, global cooling, global warming, is because you're selfish. You have air conditionings. You're using your cars. That is a bunch of lies straight out of hell. You cannot control the weather. You cannot contribute to the weather. It is impossible. This power alone only belongs to God Almighty, the Almighty Creator of the universe, who saveth souls. To them who believe on his name, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. That same God, my friend, controls the weather. He says, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? My friend, just like I read, did I read Jonah? I think I missed a verse. Let's go back to Jonah. Only God can control the weather. He is the creator of everything. I guess I'll leave that verse out of that, because I was reading Jonah this week, and when Jonah was telling the mariners who he was, he said, I fear the Lord. And okay, let's just go over there. Right, so they're asking, what manner of man is this that even the sea obey him? Go to Jonah with me, and I gotta read it because I forgot to write down on my paper. Jonah, it says, and Jonah said in verse 9 of Jonah chapter 1, and he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. So what manner of man is this? Well, that manner of man that did all that was the man, the God that made the sea. He did it. Okay? Mark chapter 6. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 6. All right, so I had to pause it real quick. My wife had to come and change Archibald. All right, so Mark chapter 6, verse 45. This is so fascinating to me. You know, Christian, no matter how long you've been saved, you ought to be fascinated at the fact that our God that we serve, that saved us, is all powerful. I wonder how this happened to my Bible. Okay, so Mark chapter 6, verse 45, it says there, and straightway he constrained his disciples to go into the ship. Okay, constrain means to compel. Constrain his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before Bethesda. While he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Amen. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. So Jesus is somewhere else. The disciples are on the ship in the sea, but Jesus was ferrying the people off. He was saying goodbye, you know, whatnot. I'll see you again, whatnot. He was on the land still. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. That means that means it was against them. The wind was pushing them back to where they could not go forward. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. Guys, Jesus Christ, with his almighty, awesome power, was walking against the powerful wind. But guess what? The God that we serve is the God of the wind, and he was opposing it with ease. So basically what it is, imagine that the wind is pushing your boat back. You're rowing, rowing, and rowing. You can't proceed. And then you see Jesus walking towards the same direction and he's about to pass you by. Why is that? Because he's all powerful. Right here, Jesus is walking on the water. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. I don't understand this too much. I would have thought they would have recognized that was Jesus, seeing that in Mark chapter 4, he calmed the wind and the sea. But anyway, and immediately he, and they cried out. And they supposed it had been a spirit and they cried out. So they're freaking out here. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they, you know, when you're in wonder, it's marvelous, basically. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. So you see Jesus walking on his creation with confidence because he made the sea. So of course God's going to walk on his own sea. He made it. Environmentalists out there, you cannot control the wind. You cannot control the environment. You cannot be God. It is impossible. And one day you trying to control us, it's going to fail because this planet is going to crash and burn. Now, there's something I have to point to your attention. A lot of people think that the devil has power to control the wind and all that. I don't think so. There are too many verses in the Bible that show that God controls the earth, the weather, and so forth and so on. I do not think that the devil has power to control the weather. And this is why I think that. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 4, through to 4. Let's turn there real quick. A lot of people think that, Satan has power to control the wind. I do not think so. I just don't think so. There aren't any verses that prove that. He never created the planet. Why in the world will he have power to control that? Okay? So, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. Wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Okay. What is the now? Some people think that the devil controls the weather because it says the prince of the power of the air. I don't think so. Okay, prince in the power of the air. That is basically talking about the fact that he is an angel and he can fly. Go with me to Genesis chapter 8. No, go with me to Job. Let's look at the devil flying. Okay. I want you to really pay attention to this. Let me slow down so you can understand what I'm talking about. Go to Job. Oh, man. Where is Job? Okay, there's Esther. All right. Okay, Job. Praise the Lord, I'm here. Look at me with Job now. Now, in Job, look at the devil. He's finding someone to mess up and sift like wheat. Okay. Now, there was a man in the land of Uz, his name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him sons and daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses in every great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. And his sons went out and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their fasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Wow. Thus did Job continually. Now look at verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going. Now look at this key phrase here. From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it. Now, the devil's walking on the earth. Well, what does to and fro mean in the Bible in this type of modern English in its purest form, this 1611 English, if you will? By the way, this is modern English in its purest form. This is not ancient English, okay? Don't believe that nonsense. Get a dictionary. Get saved. You'll understand the Bible. Okay, go to Genesis chapter 8, right? And you can see the same to and fro used there. This is talking about the devil's power of flight. He can fly. And angels can fly really fast. Genesis chapter 8. And we'll be done with this and we'll close pretty soon. I just want to point this out that I don't think the devil has power to control weather and all that kind of stuff. I just don't think so. If I'm wrong, you know, just tell me in the Bible. Show me a Bible verse, please. Genesis chapter 8, verse 7. And he sent forth a raven. This is talking about Noah, which went forth to and fro. Now, a raven is a bird and it can fly. Okay, so and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. The raven was flying around. The devil was flying around. He's the prince of power of the air because he flies. He influences kingdoms to act stupid, rage war, communism, and do dumb stuff. All right. So that enough with that. That was very interesting. Now, for my listeners, this was encouraging to me. I love the fact that we serve an all-powerful God. But if you're not saved and you happen to stumble upon this program, would you like to know the God of creation? Would you like the God of creation to be a part of your life? You know, when you believe in Jesus Christ, like the Bible says in John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus is the only way to heaven. And you must believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. John 14:6. I need to look at it again. But the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's why he came to die on the cross for your sins and pay for your sins on the cross. Yes, John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, the life. Hey, why did he pay for your sins on the cross? The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You have a payment for your sins, and that's eternal hellfire. If you don't get saved, you're going to burn there forever. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God... the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God can extend to you eternal life, but it is only through Jesus Christ our Lord. You must believe on Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, like it says in John 3:16. The Bible says that you cannot work your way to heaven. It's by working your way to heaven. You can't do that. Salvation is only through faith through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 through 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's believing now. Faith. Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Lest any man, and not of works, lest any man should boast. You get saved by believing in God, and then you ask Jesus to save you. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you do this, this is what will happen to you. The God of creation, who is a part of making us, will come to live inside of you. You remember the part in the Bible that says, let us make God in our own image. That was the Godhead having a meeting there. That was God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And if you're saved, if you ask Jesus to save you, the Holy Ghost, who was there at creation, who was responsible for creating man, will live inside of you. It says in John, I hope I wrote it down. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now look at this. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit will come to live inside of you. You say, how do you get the Holy Spirit? I mentioned already, it's by believing on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 verses 6 to 14. This is awesome. Now listen, salvation is only comes by believing on Jesus Christ. No, there are no other gods to believe in. Only Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, that's talking about those that believe in Jesus, that's what I did. I said, Lord, please save me. Take me to heaven when I die. I don't want to go to hell. Save me. I know that you are God. I know that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again on the third day, and you're with God the Father. I know this, and I got saved. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, that's me, and you, if you believe in Jesus and ask Jesus to save you, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the heathen. Hey, you got all these tattoos. You look at porn all day long. You shot somebody. You have tattoos, rings in your face. You've done all kinds of wickedness. You have all kinds of husbands, or you have all kinds of women out there that you're fornicating with, worshiping nastiness. Well, God wants you to be saved. It says God will justify the heathen through faith. It doesn't matter what you have done, beloved. It doesn't matter. If you believe in Jesus Christ, God will forgive you and save you through faith in Jesus Christ. Preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That's talking about any willing person willing to believe in Jesus. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But look at this. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. So you guys out there that trying to keep the law to get saved, you're wasting your time. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He died on the cross for your sins. He is the ultimate sacrifice. Like it says in John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the whole world. You no longer need to sacrifice lambs, because the Lamb of God did it, and that was Jesus Christ. He sacrificed his life on the cross for man's sins. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You are justified by having faith in Jesus Christ. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now look at this. Christ hath redeemed us. He redeemed us with his blood, guys. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That means he took our sins upon him. All of our iniquity was upon Jesus Christ on the cross. He took our punishment on the cross, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's talking about non-Jews. Through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. My question for you is this. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God and that he's the only way to salvation? Then bow your head and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that my sins will take me to hell. The Bible says in your word, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I know that, Lord, but you died on the cross for my sins. Please save me and take me to heaven when I die. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You could pray, you could ask Jesus to save you. You know, it doesn't have to be the same prayer I prayed. All right? It's faith. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to save you and to take you home to heaven when you die. And Jesus will indeed save you. And the God of this world will come to live inside of you forever. You're sealed unto him. And go with me to John 10:28. And then we're done. John 10:28. This is what God does to those that have faith on his son, Jesus Christ. That asks Jesus to save him. You got to do Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. Once again, the title of this message was Only God Controls the Weather, because God is the creator of the universe. And if you want that same God to come into your heart and save you, then ask that same God, the Almighty God, to save you today.